absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Fine Sunday morning, the last Sunday of the fourth month of this year, April 27th. We'll be in May before you know it. And after May comes June, and the summer starts in July, and then the hot days of August, and before you know it, in September comes football. But before we get to that, before we get all the way to that, we come back to April, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know what time it is right now. I am JT, a.k.a., as you all know, the Master, and this is the Master Plan. Number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. Also have a chat room open. Chat room's always open for your pleasure. Place a statement. Make a statement. Place a comment. Make a comment. Ask a question or whatever you like in that chat room. It's there for your convenience. And if you, whatever you put in is what you're going to get out of it. So, you know, you want to come nasty, just expect nasty back because that's the way we roll here. All right? One other note. I have a younger sister that's running a half marathon as we speak this morning. I want to send her much love, as always, and good luck. Find out a little later today where she finished that. Half marathon, 13 miles. And change? I don't know if I could ever do that. That's a hell of a feat. You got to give mad respect for anyone running a half a marathon or a marathon. It's a feat that a lot of people dream about, and few people actually go out and do it. So I got to give props to her for doing that. All right. I don't even know where to begin today. I really don't. I don't know if I want to jump on this Donald Sterling thing. We talked about it in great length, for over an hour and a half yesterday, Vic and I. I just wait to see how it plays out, people. I have a thought in my mind of what I think should be done if it turns out to be absolutely without no mistake that this is true. Right away they're trying to disparage the person that recorded the recorded the conversation. But this man has a long track record, an extremely long track record of disparaging remarks, conduct detrimental to any minority. And I understand. I mean, let me put it this way. This guy, his name isn't real. His original name is Donnie Tolkowicz, not Donald Sterling. But he had his name changed. This guy is very egotistical, and he's an egomaniac, and he's really narcissistic. Trust me, people. You read up. You go online. This is all I can tell you. Now, don't take my word for it if you don't want to. You go online and get various articles. I got an email of an article from the online. Let me just bring it up, and we go from there. The email I got was from The Nation, and it was dated yesterday, but it's from an old 2010 book called Bad Sports: How Owners Are Ruining the Games We Love, and it's an article on Donald Sterling. Now, it's dated, but a lot of this stuff, I mean, it's dated because they were, at that time, considered one of the worst franchises because they historically had bad teams. But for the most part, the article relates to current day. Let me put it that way. Relates to current day. And there's no doubt about it that Mr. Sterling is a not too nice a guy. Let me put it that way. Not too nice a guy. And I would venture to say that he would be they wouldn't miss him if he was no longer an owner in the NBA. Let me put it that way. I really believe that. I wasn't too impressed with the press conference of the new commissioner. Adam Silver, because he danced around a lot of things. I understand he has to wait, and this has to be a due process. And I understand. Now, he's a lawyer, okay? So I'll premise that by saying that he's a lawyer. So he's going to caution on the side of his profession. And it also because he's the commissioner. So he's got to have all his ducks in a row in order to be able to do what eventually I think he has to do. And I think he knows he has to do it. And that this is probably the last straw in the long ownership of Donald Sterling. Quite naturally, the commissioner works, just like all commissioners, work for the owners in the league. And Donald Sterling or Donnie Tolkowitz is an owner, and a billionaire. And if you read this article, the billionaire slumlord with unscrupulous ways. Now, I'm not saying that other wealthy people, billionaires or multimillionaires, don't do unscrupulous things to get to where they have gotten. But some of the things, if you read this article, is outright shameful, okay? And things going on in the 2000s, you would think you'd be back in the Deep South and in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, or 60s, somewhere back there when before they passed any kind of civil rights laws. That's how bad this guy is, people. I'm not just spouting this. This is how bad this guy is. Because he's gotten free rein, because he's able to do, he has the money and do, and feels he can do whatever he wants to do because he's been enabled all this time, he does it. Because no one actually said, no, you can't do that, and stuck to their guns without backing off. He got a fine from the league for over $20 million, which was eventually reduced to six because of David Stern backing down from him. So what I'm saying is not just me spouting off. I'm going by what I see in black and white, what is actually factual information. So it is what it is. I really don't want to go ranting on about him because the fact is I want to be able to go in a different direction to see if I can see we can go on a different journey and get to something that's worth anything. But I'm really at a loss. I've been thinking about what I wanted to cover today, and this keeps popping up in my mind because I can't believe that – I can believe that we're talking about something like this on the 27th of April in the year 2014. 2014. But because this guy's got power, he's got money, and he's got influence over other people with that power and money. It's a story because he can affect lives, people's lives. He can hold down or allow people to flourish under him that work for him. And to have that power with the type of attitude he has is morally, ethically, and legally wrong. Wrong in all counts. I have to say that because the fact is it's the truth. It's the God's honest truth. And I just wanted to bring that to light, to let you know. Go read that article I told you about. Go read that article. Join the Nation. You probably can go, I'll give you the website. The website is www.thenation.com. You probably can just type in Donald Sterling, Slumlord Billionaire. The article is by David Zurin. It's dated yesterday, April 26, 2014. And it's a nice, in-depth article. If you think that this guy is just spouting off and he just came out of left field, no, it didn't. This guy, he bought the Clippers back in the early '80s, and he's just been a work of art. I shouldn't work of art. He just been a piece of work, let me put it that way, since then. And it's chronological there, and it's probably not all of it, but I would say the highlights, if you want to say, or the lowlights of this guy, has been chronicled since he bought the team. So read that article, and then you can understand where this has come from, okay? Then you can understand that this guy, like I said, has been enabled by many people. And because he's got money. He's got money, and he's not a person that... He's a very controlling guy, quite naturally, and what he can't control, he tries to squash. All I can tell you is read this article. I mean, I just happened to get this because I'm a subscriber to, not subscriber to the Nation, but I... from whatever source, I get emails from them, and I read this article just before I came on air, and very surprised, to say the least. About the, not surprised about the man, because I'm surprised that it's been going on for so long. Now, talking about he bought this in 81, and his practices and things he's been doing since 81, okay? Huh? Yes. And you'd have to think that's 32 years. 32 years he's owned this, 33 years he's owned this franchise. And throughout those 33 years, he's done some things in the franchise, and he's done some things outside of the franchise that are extremely bigoted and, I'll put it plain and simple, racist. Absolutely. There's no two ways about it. And I said it yesterday, and I'm going to say it to Donald Sterling, or Donald Tolkowitz, and I also say it to the NBA. It's a phrase from the movie Malcolm X, which was derived from a direct quote from Malcolm X about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And I'm not permissive now, I'm just going to the quote itself, to Donald Sterling slash Donald Tolkowitz, and to the NBA slash Adam Silver, you've let this guy do what he does with his franchise for this many years. David Stern now Adam Silver, and the NBA, and to you, Donald Sterling, the chickens have come home to roost. It's time to, if this is true, it's time for change. It's time to, if you're the NBA and the NBA is like between 75 and 85% African American or minority, black, I should say, and you have an owner who blatantly has been doing this for years and came out in 2014 with this blatant, I'd say rant, but blatant conversation, albeit with someone that is supposedly have a lawsuit, or you have a lawsuit against, so there's legal this legal things happening between the parties. Does it really make a difference? I know you say it makes a difference, but it doesn't really make a difference, for the simple fact is this: the facts are the facts. Whether it was vindictive or not, that's besides the point. Is that your voice? If it's your voice, you're in trouble. If it's your voice, Adams, if it's your voice, Donald Sterling, or besides Donald Tolkowitz, or whatever you want to call yourself, you should not be a member or owner in the NBA. You should go off into your little corner, and I know this is going to kill you because you like the spotlight. I can see that you are one of these people that love the spotlight. You got money, and you jump out there and say, look at me. Look at me. I own these boys. That's basically what you're saying. Trust me when I'm telling you, people. I'm not ranting this because I'm African American, and this happens to be a white guy talk. I'm because I'm an American, and this guy is a bad person. Just because you have money does not make you a good person. Just because you don't have money does not make you a bad person. You're a good person or a bad person not because of the amount of money you have in your pocket, but who you are. So just because you're a billionaire doesn't make you a good person or a bad person, and vice versa. If you're the lowest on the economic chain, homeless, doesn't make you a bad person. There are bad people that are homeless. There are good people that are homeless. There are bad people that are billionaires and multimillionaires, and there's good people that are that. That doesn't make you that much better because you've been fortunate enough to be able to climb up the chain economically. Makes you more privileged, gives you more access to a lot of things, but doesn't make you a good person. So if this is true, this is just another stone on the bridge that this may be the last stone on the bridge to make it come tumbling down and get this guy out of the league. Now, Adam Silver said there's precedence, so we'll see what happens. And see how they also said they hope to have this wrapped up before the Clippers play their next game in Golden State on Tuesday. I hope he's true to his word, okay? Because there's a lot of angry people out there, including the players themselves and the coach, that are not happy at all about the circumstances in the organization of the Los Angeles Clippers, team that's finally trying to turn the corner and establish themselves as a consistent power in the NBA, a consistent good franchise to be in, to play for. And now this just in brings out the culture, brings the culture out of what's been going on in this organization. And it's time to cut that bad part of the apple out so the rest can flourish. Now, this could be a bad thing, but a good thing also. And the reason I'm saying that, it's a bad thing of the circumstances that's going on right now, but it could be a good thing for the organization and for the NBA, because this thing has come to a head. Adam Silver, you have no choice. This is going, unfortunately, this is one of the many things, and it's this like short tenure, 3 to 4 months in your tenure. This is going to be one of the things that define your commissionership. So you can't take this lightly, and you got to be thorough, swift, and just in whatever you do. Absolutely. There's no two ways about it, because a lot of eyes, a lot of fans are watching and seeing what's going to take place. Is this going to keep permeating and cause others to act like Donald Sterling / Turkowitz? Or is it going to say, we don't stand for this in the NBA and the NBA family? You have a lot of eyes. NBA players, their families, their relatives, relatives, friends, fans of every team. A lot of money. A lot of money is riding on this. A lot of money is riding on this. There's no two ways about it. The bottom line in all these pro organizations, NHL, Major League Baseball, football, the NBA, rely on their fans and their marketing to get the fans to buy their team logos, uniforms, apparel, come to the games. A lot is riding on this. And if this And trust me when I'm saying this. Now, if you look in the stands of most NBA games, it's not relative to the amount of minorities on the court. I understand that. In a lot of NBA games, the majority of the people that come to the games, majority of them are white. Now, quite naturally, the majority anyway are white in this country, but the majority of fans that are able to afford to come to the games and come to the games are white. But you do have, and it's a large segment of the population besides the white, you have a lot of minorities. And I'm not just saying black because I'm black. A lot of minorities invest in NBA apparel, invest in their team by coming to games. So that's revenue that you can't afford to lose. You built this up, this sport up, and you know, I'm taking away, and we're going to talk about that in the next half hour. I'm taking away from all the games that have been played so far. Some phenomenal games, last second shots winning games. This is taken away from that. quite a bit, because this is news. You can't just spew this hatred. I don't care if it was in the conversation. It came out in the conversation, but this is how this guy thinks. And if someone like that thinks like that, are you kidding me? 2014. Come on, man. Wake up. You're not going to get rid of this type of talk completely. But you have to nip it in the bud when it comes out to a head like this. You can't let it go. This guy, like I said, people, this guy is in a position of extreme power. He's an NBA owner. He's a billionaire with a lot of money and, I imagine, a lot of influence. A lot of influence on people's lives. A lot of influence on being able to give jobs and take jobs away. If he has these, guess what? I know he has. I think there's only one or two guys on the. One or two guys on the team that are white. The majority of them black. He's got a black coach. I understand that. But this is what he says. You can work for me, but I can't be seen in public with you. But he has a girlfriend that's mixed, Mexican and African American. But she can't, in his words, she cannot be seen with a minority in public. Private, I don't have a problem with that, because it makes him look bad. That he allows his girlfriend, who's a minority, to be seen with other minorities. He considers her a delicate white or slash Latina. Come on, man. Now I'm getting worked up, and I don't really want to get worked up, but I'm trying to get you people to understand where I'm coming from here. There's a lot of different ways to go through this. And let me get this call. I've walked away from the board. Now I see somebody. I got a caller in here. So let me bring this caller in here and caller from the 240. Welcome to the master plan. How you doing, my man?
Oh, if you ain't want to get worked up, you shouldn't have put me on this joint with you, boy. I'm trying to tell you. I'll work you up some more.
What's up, Macau?
What's up, man? Your wife will be checking that blood pressure this morning.
I'm telling you. I just got finished. I don't know if you've been, how long you've been listening, but I got finished reading an article. I don't know if you know this website, called The Nation.
Yeah, The Nation. Yeah, I know.
TheNation.com. They email me. I get email from them all different times, and they email me a article on Mr. Donald Sterling, a.k.a. Mr. Donald Tokowitz. And this is it's an older article from a book in 2010 called Bad Sports, How Owners Are Ruining the Game We Love. That's talking about basketball. It's an older article, but a lot of it, some of it relates back to earlier years, and some of it is still relative right now. And I read the article before it came online. I shouldn't have probably done that because it enlightens anybody who wants to read this article of the real Donald Sterling or the real Donald Tolkowicz, I should say, because that's his birth name, Tolkowicz.
And you know why he changed his name, but go ahead.
Yes. I was telling myself, don't get worked up. Get what you want to get out of this, and then move on. But it's like, as much as I think about this, is like, you know, how this guy's been enabled for 30-something years. He's been enabled for 30-something years. I mean, he's been fined and blocked or whatever for 30-something years. But the NBA, and now first it was David Stern, and now it's on Adam Silver's watch now to finally do something about this guy, because, like I had said earlier, the chickens are coming home to roost, because this it's out now. If this guy's voice is the actual voice on the conversation that he was having with his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, whoever she is, who's a minority, and mixed, Mexican and black, then there's no room, just like Shaq said, there's no room in the NBA for this guy to be an owner. Talk to me, man. I know you got some things to say. Talk to me.
This dude been racist. I mean, he been carrying on like that for a real long time.
Yep.
I think what's the former basketball player?
Elgin Baylor
sued him.
Yep.
For discrimination years back, if I can remember correctly.
Yep.
But you know the spotlight's on him now, man. You know, the Clippers been terrible forever. You know what I'm saying? And now they on their way down. So they going right back to the bottom of the basement. They going go right back. I hate to put it like that, but let me get to the meat of this. You know, this dude is really is a microcosm of a very small percentage of that 1%.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But see, but because that small percentage is so few, trust and believe there are plenty more. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There's plenty more that think like that.
Yep.
You know, and honestly, you know, if you just like analyze it and take the racial stuff out, he makes perfect sense. And I'm not trying to sound like a house dude, the house Negro, for real. I mean, but that's how they carry it. It's exactly how they carry it. You know what I mean? And I'm glad that the sister put, she put it out there, right? I'm glad she put it, like, way out there, because this is a different time now for that type of carrying on to be going on. But I don't see what the NBA, I don't see what the commissioner is going to be able to do. I mean, because actually he works for him, you know. I mean, and it was clear because, you know, David Stern virtually made that team what it is. You know what I mean? Because he couldn't do it, and he couldn't find management to do it either, for the reasons we can clearly understand now. I mean, he's got some of the most dynamic black men on this earth working for him, and this is how he keeps on being rich. I mean, he keeps on being wealthy. It's like, you know, so many people think these basketball players and these football players make so much money and they have so much money. I don't want their money. I've always said that. I don't want their money. I want the money that the guy that's paying them has. You know what I mean? That's wealth. And to sit here and to know and to see exactly what these people think, I mean, it's so unreal now. You know, it's like right there on your phone, man. You can see it. And what I don't like is people that put up a bunch of white noise. I call it white noise. It's not. It's kind of like a double pun. You know what I mean? You know that white noise you get on your TV, but shh. You know, people that put that white noise up. What I mean by that is they don't want to talk about stuff like this. They don't want to get a clear understanding about this, you know, and we, you know, and it's been pointed out many, many, many times before, and then all of a sudden, that's a big, big, big scandal. You know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's really not surprising to me from him because we've heard this. Elgin put it out there. I mean, and he didn't even go to the media. He went straight to the legal system, you know, because he
right.
knew he couldn't fight him no other way. But I don't know, man. She had no business being with him anyway.
Well, let me put it this way. You know why she was with him. Come on, man.
You know why she was with him.
But he's the type guy, and this is what bothers me. This is what really bothers me because this guy has got money to burn. I mean, he's got more money than he'll ever be able to spend in a lifetime, and he has friends that are in that same economic level, and
mm-hmm.
you got to believe that his friends that are in that same economic level, and I'm not saying all of them, have his type of mindset. And that's extremely troubling because this is why, and you had touched on it earlier, this is why it's troubling. They're in the top 1%, okay,
mm-hmm.
of the people that make money in this country. Top 1% are the ones controlling a lot of jobs, a lot of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you understand what I'm saying?
Controlling
so
everything.
They're
controlling everything.
Are controlling that type of economic power over other people. That means that you're only going to get, if you're a minority, you're only going to get up to a certain point. If you get to that certain point. If they let you get to that certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that the opportunity for any minority, I'm not just saying black, for any minority, it depends on how that person feels about whether it's somebody of a different race or a different a religious background, how far you get. If you come into whoever's organization that they control. So that's what's troubling for the fact is how – now you got to think is how rampant is this? Because what he said on that phone, he was talking about culture, his culture,
mm-hmm.
his culture. So he's talking about his culture. Well, how many people that you know are in your culture think like this?
Mm-hmm.
That are able to control jobs and able to impact people's and families' lives. That's
mm-hmm.
what's troubling. That's what's troubling to me. That's what really
yeah.
bothers me about this, because the fact is, I mean, you're not going to get completely root out racism. It's all over the country. It's embedded
in who we are
in America. You're not going to get rid of that. But
mm-hmm.
when you have people of power and money that can influence and control people's lives, then that's a real extreme big problem. People like him and people like him, and in quotation marks, his culture have a tendency to be able to keep people down who are trying to excel and make themselves better. And all the discrimination laws and whatever else that you want to put out there, you know, they have ways of working around it, doing subtle things. Down the food chain to keep people down, and trust me, when one road is blocked, there's another detour that they go around to do what they want to do, and you know what I'm talking about. So
this is
really really troubling to me, and that's what really got me to start talking about this and not being able to get off the subject for the last 45 minutes. So
right. All right, I'm there with you. I'm right on there with you, because to me, it's really not surprising. But what is surprising to me is just like the lack of like people like us that don't really pay attention to stuff like this. no more. Mm-hmm. As if, and then act like, you know, this stuff does not exist. That gets my gall.
Yep.
I mean, that really gets me to start pounding the pavement, because you got to be sleek if you're not paying attention to this type of stuff.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's very important, and it's very impactful to all our lives, and then our children's lives, and our children's
mm-hmm.
children's lives. You know? And I really like that point you made. Yeah, racism's not going anywhere. You know, you can just, who are we kidding? It's not going
yep.
anywhere.
Nope.
And one of the things that he said in his little message or whatever, that struck me, was he was only concerned with how it looks, right? He's not concerned
mm-hmm.
with how it looks to, you know, regular folks like you and I. He's concerned with how it looks to other one percenters. That's the only people he's worried about how it looks to. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, people
mm-hmm.
talking about some people giving him calls and all this other stuff, and I'm like, who are these people? You know
yep.
what I mean? That's what you should be able to see. You know what I mean?
That,
who is he talking about? It's like,
that's
so it's a
that's
whole
exactly
crew
what I'm
of
talking
them.
About. That's exactly what I was talking about, man.
Exactly.
People of his culture, that's
mm-hmm.
disturbing, because you know the people of his culture, what type of circle he's in. He's in an elite economic circle. So people
yeah.
of his culture, are you kidding me? That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
The some of the top 1% of people making money who are in his culture find this offensive that she's seen with a black man. It's black. Oh, black people! Don't bring black people to my games. What?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
don't bring black people to the games.
Are you kidding me?
He out his mind. He sound like
are
a
you,
fool.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Now we know already, because I said it earlier. We know already the majority of people, quite naturally, they're the majority anyway. But the majority of people that come to NBA games are white. That's
mm-hmm.
a fact. I'm not saying anything out of sort. Or disparaging, that's a fact. The majority of people
mm-hmm.
that come to NBA games are white. But that's not to discount the amount of minorities and economic power the minorities have coming to these games. And I'm not just talking about black. I'm not talking about Mexican. I'm talking about a whole bunch of minorities. And I'm including the Asian population in it, because the Asian population has really jumped in there. And depending on what region of the country you are, or even Canada, I think even when they go to Toronto, they have a big, I think, Slovak population going to games because of the players that play on the Toronto Raptors. So,
mm-hmm.
it's truly a global game, and a lot of that has to entail with minorities. And if he's got a problem with blacks or minorities and people that I don't know if he's ex-girlfriend or not, whatever she is now, being seen with minorities, especially blacks, taking pictures or bringing them to the games, come on, man. I mean, come on. Give me a break. This is 2014. Like I said, you're not going to get rid of it completely, because it's ingrained in American society. It's never going to go away. It's never, ever going to go away. That's utopia. It's never, ever going to go away. But when you have, and I keep on stressing this because it's extremely important, when you have the top 1% and their culture, and I'm not saying all of them, but there's a certain top 1% that we know now think like this, that is a huge thing, because they control a lot of people's economic the economic ladder of a lot of people, especially minorities, and opportunities. And if they have a certain mindset, that's going to prevent opportunity for those type of people. Let me bring in your cousin, Victor, and see what he has to be saying, because we had a nice conversation yesterday. Victor, I got your cousin on here, the two cousins. and me. What's up, man?
Ain't nothing. Hey, keep me on hold for like 2 more seconds.
And like I say, Mikal, it's crazy that he would come out and say something like this, but it's part of the course.
He got cold red-handed.
And the thing about it was this, and I have to get all these points out, not going to say right away, but intermixed with different venues, the NBA, Network, and ESPN coming out with snippets of the conversation that he had with his ex-girlfriend or girlfriend. They also said that she's involved in a lawsuit with the family. So I don't know if that's something to disparage her, but it doesn't make a difference, really, if it was just for spite or whatever. It's come out, and this is his mindset. And if it's actually his voice, he's in deep doo-doo. Talk to me, Victor.
All right, two things. I really went in yesterday on the show about this situation. And, you know, I post some stuff on Facebook, post some stuff on Twitter. And you with me when I did it, Jerry. And
yep.
I'm going to read something from one of my former coworkers who happens to be mixed. He's Latino and white, and I'm not going to put his full name out there, but I'm gonna read what he wrote, and then I'm going to read the whole conversation, so it might take a minute, okay? I know you got 10 minutes left in the show, so I'm not going to try to take all the time as possible, but
no,
let me get to
this. I'm giving you what you got.
Okay. All right, it says, just caught up with Donald Sterling fiasco. And why are people so worked up? Is it a big surprise that a big business owner holds opinions that are drastically different than their slut agenda-oriented girlfriends they choose to associate with? His mistake was to cross status lines for the sake of his pecker. Garbage. Why should a successful businessman's career suffer for trying to preserve reputation among his elite brethren? It's guilty by association. That phrase didn't create itself. I don't chill with privates on the weekend, and my commander doesn't with me. Holy shite. If we speak truths about generalities that are always true among these divided groups, grow up, America. Then he says, P.S., Stephen Smith is a horrible journalist and person. So I reply back, really, person? The guy and his culture look at people not like them as less than desirable. Translation, in his words, you can sleep with them, be friends with them, but don't publicize it or bring them to my games. I guess we need to grow up since we don't judge all people, just the ones that give us cause to. I'm not asleep about the people that we work with or for, but to be in his position to have the power he has, economically and politically and political connections, means people not in his culture will make him money but not worth the 1 cent he feels about them. By the way, the girlfriend probably had enough of his BS and decided to out him, much like Linda Tripp did to Clinton. People call Tripp a champion of truth and integrity, but this girl gets labeled slut and other things. Dude, you just lit my fire on this topic. He replies, precisely. We shall not judge people unless they give us cause, which in the business world is defined by numbers. Everything is numbers, generality, target. And if the public opinion of folks who she entertains is contrary to those who he does business with, then why not voice his opinion privately on that matter? He said he respects minorities and loves those relationships in that private conversation with the gold digger. WTF else do you want? He simply acknowledged the economic problems his poor life decisions has dealt with. If you have never said a stereotypical white person joke, then you and no one else has the right to retort. People have differences. In his world, they are economic. The effed up thing is he recognized the problems through his manipulated relationship and emotions, which indeed skewed. So I write back. I think this is the last thing because I don't see he responded to it. Person. Saying a joke in a private conversation is a joke between two people. However, he was not joking. further, the conversation may have been private, but we all say things in private to tell the truth about us as people. Again, you missed a big point on this. Let's use our former boss, Bill Big. If he had said such things to John B., and John let all of us know about it, with 80% of his workforce being black or some other minority at the time, do you think we would have any loyalty toward him or other than his position? Because of Sterling's position of power and influence and Bill's, the outrage is warranted. If neither man had impact on the lives of so many, they both would be stupid racist people who needed to shut up. Not saying Bill was like that, but I tried to make a comparison of power and influence and impact. I know for a fact that there were at least two of those type of people at HQ. Fact. Neither had power over me, so it didn't affect me like a few others. But I did notice whom they associated with. Sterling said he wanted blacks. He didn't want blacks at his games, publicly seen with people he held close. And yes, his head coaches and 95% of the team are black. There's a reason the federal government found him guilty of bias and racial discrimination to tennis. There's a reason Elgin Baylor sued him for racial discrimination. The man is a racist who, again, in his words, lives in a culture where being seen with black people is terrible. Do me a favor. Look up why Raleigh Massimino didn't take the Clippers job. It was one question Sterling asked him. With his money and power, he can make and break whomever he wanted. That's why his private conversation is so important and why people are calling for action. He can have his whiteout at the next game at Staples Center because his culture sees no value in minorities other than their money. That was last night, so he hasn't posted nothing back. But, you know, I would think that, and this guy's gotten in trouble for doing stupid stuff, the guy I'm talking to. And I would think, being his background, and I don't know how he grew up. I don't know if it was poor, wealthy, middle class, whatever. But seeing the things and going through things he went through, that he would understand, and his rank, by the way, that he would understand when you have that much power and influence over people and conditions, it doesn't matter if the conversation is private, if it's public or whatever. He said these things, and he can impact a great deal, many of things, along with his culture.
That's what I've been saying. That's
so
exactly what I've been saying.
So when
people, hey, but Big,
you know, when people wait a minute, let me get this out real quick. So when people post these things on Twitter and Facebook about why are you so upset, what if it was a black person that said it? Black people say it all the time, and you hear it. You hear about black mother saying, you better not bring no white child or no white woman in my house. You hear people saying all these things all the time. The difference is these people that say it have no power and influence over a grander scheme of things. But the best way to attack these guys is what Stephen A. Smith said, economically. And I agree with him. Totals. I mean, I would love to see the Clippers walk off at the tip-off because of the nationally televised games. I would love it. But then again, you got something was brought up. They got contracts. They got to get paid. They want to win a championship. But at the same time, some form of solidarity needs to be made with this team and the Golden State Warriors and around the league. Because you're all these NBA players coming out. Even DeAndre Jordan, he made his comments known about his boss. And he works for him, and he's playing a game for him. So, you know, these people that think that is BS and that, you know, it might not even be him. Okay. All right. It might not be him. And people might not have a bias against the president. People might not have a bias against people of lower stature. You know? So don't give me that. That's all I got. Go ahead, Mike and Jerry.
I just want to get that out there. I'm going to say to you is the guy that you going back and forth with is not even worth it. Without me saying it too bluntly, but a lot of them don't. A lot of people with his background kind of feel the same way. You know what I mean? Because I'm kind of going through that with your little cousin. You know, he's affiliated with another culture, and they don't, that particular culture is not down with black folks. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. So his sentiments really don't, they really don't surprise me. I really, you jive like wasting your time going back and forth with him because he ain't gonna see it. He's not gonna see it. You know, it's funny to me, cultures that are kind of on par with our culture, that kind of look down upon our culture as well. You know, and I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of that over the years and stuff like that. And it's just like crazy because that inner circle that he's talking about, well, they look down upon all of them. You know what I mean? All of them. It ain't just black. You know what I'm saying? It's black. It's Asian. It's Mexican. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's all of them. They don't. You not, if you're not in that, if you're not in that 1%, for real, and you don't have that economic power, it's not, you're not even in the discussion. I mean, they don't even care what regular folks like us even sitting around talking about or thinking about. They don't care. They got
right.
no concern with it at all.
Yep. All right. Well. We do have to be in overtime, but that's okay because I enjoyed the two guys calling up and expressing your opinion. I had not intended to go, just like Vic hadn't intended to go for an hour and a half yesterday. I didn't intend to go a whole hour and then some on this subject, but I felt you guys needed to have something to say about it and also myself. So I'm glad we got this conversation. Hopefully there will be some type of resolution before the Golden State game on Tuesday on what this guy's going to do and supposedly, and I really didn't like this, and didn't bring it up, but I really didn't like this, but I have to understand or try to understand what position the new commissioner is in this. Being that he works for the owners and being that he wants to be cautious and dot all his I's and cross all his T's before he decides or comes up with a solution about Donald Sterling.
That's the worst job in America.
Yes. One of the things that disturbed me yesterday is that he said he had talked to Donald Sterling and that he had agreed with Donald Sterling had agreed not to come to any of the playoff games. Now, and when he said he had agreed, you know, I that kind of rubbed me the wrong way because the fact is it seemed like he was kowtowing to the owner versus telling the owner, you're not coming to any games. I don't know if he was trying to have the owner save face by saying we came to an agreement or he had agreed not to come to the games. I would think it'd be a smart move on his part because the fact is I think they're supposed to be having a protest on today's game, from what I understand. I think there's going to be a protest being put together for today's game in Golden State. But if he happened to come into the arena, it would be chaos, regardless of whose arena it came to, regardless if it's Golden State or back in L.A. And the fact is his life would probably not be pretty too safe if he made an appearance. So when the commissioner says that he agreed not to come to these games, I think that was the prudent thing to do, but it kind of rubbed me the wrong way because the commissioner kind of should have said, you're not coming to any games. You just keep your damn mouth shut.
He can't say it to him like that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Well,
so we'll wait and see what happens. All right.
Can I jump in real quick?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead, Greg. Go ahead.
I mean, I want you to think about this. The guy coming to the Bay Area, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing but Latino and Black Central. The yep. Oracle Coliseum is full of that minority. Would it hurt the Golden State Warriors economically if people walked out? Sure. But they're there to cheer on their team.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, you know, there'll be a walkout of that magnitude for the for that game. But Tuesday's game, that's going to tell the story. Who shows up at that game? That's what's going to be the telling story. You know, Donald Sterling, whether he gets sanctioned, as I said, loses draft picks for the next 4 years or whatever the case may be, you know, that's the telling story. And I didn't like what the commission did either, Jerry. He read from handwritten notes, and
yep.
if he wrote it, he didn't look like he was confident in what he was reading. I don't
yep.
know if that's personality or just, you know, the way he reads. And the thing about it is, there are how many teams in the NBA? 32, something like that?
Yeah.
So all these owners have to be on the same page when it comes to him. And I'm surprised nobody asked, what did Michael Jordan think about the comment?
He had no comment. He had no comment.
Well,
if you watched NBA TV, they said that. They asked Michael Jordan, I think either his agent or somebody, it wasn't Michael Jordan himself, he had no comment.
And that's the best move. That's the best move.
Because he's an owner right now. You can't go either way, you know.
No, that's the best move. That is the best move for him to keep his mouth shut. He better shut it up. Don't say a daggone thing. And do not count on all of these owners, you know, getting together and getting in on this dude. The only way that would happen is if these teams start losing money because of this situation. And I don't
yep.
think we're going to lose any money. I don't see it.
Walkouts. It's got to be a walkout. It's got to be
a walkout on all 32 teams?
No. Don't patronize the Clippers games. Or
yeah, but
if another owner's
yeah, but that's not going. Yeah, but that's not going. Hit all the 32 teams. That's just one team. That'll just hurt him.
The profit sharing. It hurts the profit sharing. It hurts the Clippers. As of the last couple of years, have brought in a big portion of the profit share when they divvy it up within the owners with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and stuff. That's why both men are able to get these big contracts because, again, this owner is the most frugal owner in the NBA. But he put out a lot of money. Listen to what Baron Davis said. He got interviewed on a podcast a week before this happened, right? Listen to him. You know, and this guy talks about the treatment that he received from the owner. You know, money talks. Money talks, and don't buy their products, don't support them, boycott them, do whatever it is you got to do nonviolently to get the point across that this guy got to go. That's just my opinion. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you on that, but I don't see this going past the next 2 to 3 weeks. If this dude going to shut up, it's going to go away in the next 2 to 3 weeks. We'll be talking about something else. And everybody will be back to buying Blake Griffin jerseys and Chris Paul jerseys. I mean, it's just the fact of American nature. We sleep, man. Because, like, boycotts, like what you're talking about, should have been happening on a plethora of things. You know what I'm saying? Last month, last year, a couple of years ago, not just on this situation, but on a lot of other situations. I just don't see it up there higher than any of the other situations. I don't think it's going to happen. I think this dude's going to go in this hole and be quiet and not say anything. Either the Clippers will win one series and go home, and then it'll all go away, and we ain't even going to be thinking about it in the next month. Be all over. I hate to be cynical like that, but until I see some form of activism or some form of life to stand up, I just don't. I mean, because we live in a culture now where it's okay, you know what I'm saying? It's okay to buy up, you know what I'm saying? These
these million-dollar, billion-dollar corporation items. It's like the whole thing. I mean, you ain't even cool if you're not participating in it by buying that stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't see it. I really don't see it, Vic. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, mobilize, organize, boycott, get it in, show them where it hurts, get them in the pockets to make them all do something. But that would take a long and sustained effort. I don't believe that it's out there and that it'll happen. I really don't.
All right. Well, I, like I said, I want to thank you guys for engaging in the conversation we had. I want to thank anybody who's listening that appreciate you listening. And also
Terry,
that, yeah.
Terry, before you go, I wanted to tell you, because we talked last week about Sean Porter and Keith Thurman. I don't know where my head was. I was either, my mind was some damn way, but I have seen Sean Porter fight before. You know what I'm saying? When I looked on the YouTube, I was like, oh, yeah, I know this dude. He's nice. And then I watched Keith Thurman last night, and I remembered the fight that I watched him. But I don't know why I thought he was a middleweight. But last night he looked really, really good. He looked really good. His boxing skills is getting a whole lot better. The better his boxing skills get, the more dangerous he's going to become. I mean, because he got power in both hands, and I like the way he stands. He's getting good with his defense. He looked real good last night. I don't know if he ready for Mayweather. I really don't think that Sean Porter's ready. I mean, he's good, but I don't think he's ready. But I like Thurman. I would like to see Porter and Thurman fight. That'll be a good fight.
Okay. I'm not, to tell you the truth, I'm not familiar with Thurman. And I missed a fight yesterday, last
it's
night.
It's on there. It's on Showtime.
It's on Showtime?
Yeah, it's on Showtime right now. One of the Showtime channels.
Okay.
One of them Showtime
channels. I'll make sure I jump on it right if we get off the show. I'm going to go around to McCall and then Vic, and I'll close the show out, and we can get out of here. Talk to me, McCall.
Love, peace, and hair grease.
Victor.
I just want to thank everybody for coming up and listening to the Master Plan today, but I do have one question for the Master.
Yeah.
Just one question. Which NFL team is the oldest?
What NFL team is the oldest?
Ooh, yes. It's three teams I know that's like, oh, damn.
What NFL team is the oldest? I'm thinking two teams right now.
If you get this right, I will send you an autograph, Jeff Hornacek basketball card.
What NFL team is the oldest? Let me think now.
10 seconds.
I'm thinking, and I'm not. I got my hands on my head because I'm trying to think here. I'm thinking Baltimore. That's not my answer. Let me see. Baltimore. Hold on a minute. It's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and
Cleveland.
Maybe New England.
Can I get an answer?
Pittsburgh.
No. The Arizona Cardinals. They were founded in 1898, originating in Chicago, moving to St. Louis, then in Arizona.
Oh, see, you didn't make yourself clear on who you didn't say what's the oldest franchise. You said what's the oldest team.
It's the same thing. Just team.
No,
franchise.
I was thinking the age of the team, not the age of the franchise. You say, what's the oldest team? You didn't say, what's the oldest franchise? That's a different story.
Yeah. Still there.
Am I right? Now, Mikal, did you think about the age of the team like he was talking about, or did you think about the age of the team?
I didn't think about it like that.
Okay.
I didn't think about it like that. I was thinking it's just like teams. Now, one of the oldest teams I know is like Green Bay, Cleveland, Chicago.
But when you say team, I'm thinking about the players on the team. When you say franchise, that's a different story. Oldest franchise.
Whatever.
I thought you was. I see what you're saying.
You understand what I'm saying? He said, what's the oldest team? You didn't say what's the oldest franchise. You said, what's the oldest team?
I'm thinking the age of the team.
I'm not thinking the oldest franchise, which you said,
the oldest team.
All right. Well, anyway, the oldest four franchises
are the
Arizona Cardinals, Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears, and Pittsburgh Steelers. Cleveland is not the oldest. It's not among the top four.
They left that year. I forgot they left.
But that is Stump the Hump question of the day. I get to keep Jeff Hornacek. But other than that,
Jeff Hornacek,
ladies and
yeah, you could have kept that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank y'all for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Products, The Master Plan with JCH and Money on blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. You can stream it 24/7, 365 at spotonradio.webs.com. And it's all sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where players win and winners play. Other than that, JT, take it away.
All right, from Macau, Victor, and myself, I want to thank you for tuning in to today. Tune in next week, same time, same place, where hopefully we'll be talking about the resolution of this problem that came up for the NBA and Donald Sterling, Donald Tolkowicz, to tell you the truth. That's his real name, birth name. Anyway, and like I started the show, I'm going to end the show with a little bit of Hal Melvin and the Blue Notes. See ya.
No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead.